Everything is contingent upon the blood. Through the atonement, we have access to every single thing that we need. Healing through the atonement. Cleansing of sins by the atonement. Protection from the enemy by the atonement. The devil just thought he was killing Jesus, but on the third day he rose again. And when he did, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And we have power over all of the power of the enemy. Praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning to feel His presence? Love His presence in this house. This time we're going to dismiss our children, age 5 to 11. Children's Church. I'm going to ask you to be in prayer this week for our youth camp. I believe it's the, for our fellowship, it's the largest youth camp we've ever had. There's a big turnout, and I know Brother Andy Stringfella from Brother Kenny Morris's church. He's the assistant pastor over there. He's a great preacher. I know he's been praying and getting the mind of God for our youth camp. Our youth, not only is it the next generation, it's the generation for today. And we are so very elated, proud, whatever you want to say about our youth, our young people, college and career age, because they're moving up and they're really raising the bar in this last day of ministry. And I'm so excited what God's going to do in the very near future. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 14 rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse number 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for being in this sanctuary, feeling what we feel in this place among God's people. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. We know that you're in this sanctuary today. We ask you, Lord, for the written word of God to become alive to us, our hearts, our minds, our spirits. I pray for Holy Ghost conviction. Try our hearts. Try the reins. Lord, let us see any area that you see that we cannot. I pray the Spirit of God would anoint every ear, every mind, every spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you on the thought, modern day idolatry. When we hear the terminology idolatry, we have the tendency to think of a false religion out there, some kind of crazy sect of people, or we can oftentimes go to the Old Testament whenever they worshiped idols. But make no mistake about it this morning, idolatry is alive and well today in modern religion. I'm going to tell you it's even in the church, even in good churches like this. Yes, I say to you, there is idolatry among God's people. And I'm telling you, it's time to get the idols out of our life and worship the one true God. We need to ask the Holy Ghost to search us today to see if there's anything that takes preeminence over this Christ. How can this be, you may ask? How can there be idols in the house of the living God, especially in a church like this? I'm telling you, this is the best church I've ever been associated with, not because I'm the pastor, but because of the people of God, that God has drawn together serious-minded Christians who love God, who's faithful to God, who want the whole counsel of God. You don't just want the easy things. You want the hard things. Amen? You want somebody to tell you the truth. Why? Because you know, when you know the truth will make you free. But even in a church like this, among good people, God's hungry and thirsty children of God, there's a tendency to allow idolatry to enter in. Idolatry. How can this be? It's not a new thing. God's people have always had the tendency to fall into idolatry. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and 33, listen to what the prophet says. They feared, referring to Israel, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of nations whom they carried away from thence. Did you hear that? They feared the Lord, but then went and served their own gods. They came into the house of worship, or in their time, they went through the Old Testament sacraments of sacrificing, and they went through all the motions of religion. But when they went home and they went their way, they had other gods that they worshiped. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God is as jealous as he's ever been. He's not going to share our affection with him or with this world. He wants a people who are separated, sanctified, in love with him. Oh, they were people who loved God. It says they feared him, which kind of blows my mind, but then they served their own God. It can happen in the house of Harvest Time Church. We can come into this place. We can worship the Lord. We can love the word of God preached. We can love everything about the communion of the body of Christ, but then go our way and worship our little gods that we have set up in our heart. Come on, church. I'm telling you, you may not think you have them until I get through preaching this message today, and you may see some little gods in your life. I've even had to repent over little gods I've allowed in my life. Little idols that I did not even know were there until the Word of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost, put his finger on me and said, I'm a jealous God, Matt Gregory. I'm not going to share your affection with the world. I want you and you alone. God is a jealous God. I don't know about you, but I know somebody might have a jealous spouse that's a little bit overbearing, but I want my wife to be a little bit jealous over me. I've had waitresses say, no, thank you, call you honey or sweetheart. I kind of like that. Makes me know that she's in love with me. I'm telling you, God is in love with his people. An idol is really nothing in itself. It has no power in itself. I don't care what it is. It is only powerful when we give affection, love, trust to it, or any other of our care and concern. It becomes powerful only when we allow it to become powerful. Think about the golden calf, how Israel, whenever Moses was up on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments from God, it was whenever he was away, the people said, let us make an image of gold. What did they do? They melted down their earrings and jewelry, and they made an image of gold. I want to tell you, that golden calf had no image within itself. It only had power whenever they placed it in the forefront of God. I'm going to tell you, nothing wrong with money or possessions or material things. It's whenever they take preeminence, the first place over the God who demands first place in our life. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? Idolatry is nothing within itself. It has no power. We give it power when we place it number one in our life. So many American Christians do not even consider idolatry as having application to us in this hour. You better think again. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, it's not some kind of an image that we set up or a statue that we worship. We automatically think of Catholicism, and they worship Mary or some statue or some other kind of false religion. The Buddhists worship a Buddha or whatever it is. No, no, no. It is things in our heart that come before the Almighty God. Idolatry. Why is it? Why is it that we do not think this is applicable to us in modern day religion? Because we don't have statues or altars set up to another god. What we don't realize, many of us have idols, so many they cannot even be numbered. Let me give you a definition of idolatry. The dictionary defines idolatry as the worship of idols or excessive or thing. Most people don't realize an idol is something given attention to before God. Because we don't envision idols accurately, American Christians are entangled by them as easy as the children of Israel. To simplify the words of Paul, we are not to give our affections and love to the things of this world. Oh, listen, church, we cannot give our affection and love to the things of this world. In order to recognize idols, You don't always have to use your eyes, particularly when dealing with spiritual idols. Idolatry is anything, hear me, it is anything that either disproportionately consumes your thoughts, actions, or resources and gets your mind off of God. That can become an idol. Oh, listen, don't let us not think of somebody else or some other group of people. We need to allow the idol is anything we place before God. Do you remember what he said in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3? The Ten Commandments. He says that we are to put no other gods before him. Well, we say, well, preacher, that is just common sense. We would put no other God. He's the only real God. We know Buddha is dead today. Muhammad's still in the grave. Christ and Christ alone is the only real true God. I'm telling you again, an idol is nothing in itself. It only has power when we give it power. No other gods before me. No other gods. Everyone wants Jesus as Savior, but few really want him as Lord. Everybody wants to be saved. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to allow the Spirit of God to call the shots in our life. Let me tell you something. When I got saved and when you got saved, that put him in the controlling seat and not you. Listen, if he's not Lord, that means he governs you. He's the one that controls you. He tells you what to say, what to do, and where to go. Listen, again, you don't call the shots any longer, nor do I. Listen, if he's not Lord of your life, he's not going to be Savior of your life. Oh, no, we just want a Savior. We all want to get to heaven, but we want to go our own way, do our own thing. That is not the way it works. Listen to me. Lord in the Word of God appears 7,800 times. But the word Savior only appears 37 times. What are you trying to say? I'm telling you, God's trying to tell us something. He wants to call the shots in our life. It isn't what I think is right or what you think is right, because Proverbs said there is a way that appears right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You and I must understand that somebody's ruling our life. If this, I'm going to give an illustration. Let's just say this area right up here was your heart. Everybody has a heart. And this is the throne of your heart. Now, you have to envision this. The will of man. Inside of every human being, there is a throne set up in the heart of man. This is a natural process. Listen, everybody worships something. Everybody allows something to control them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you know that we were created for worship? Do you know whenever God created man, he created us for one reason, to worship him throughout eternity? Listen, you're either worshiping God or you're worshiping something else. No, I'm a Jesus lover. I'm a child of God. Listen, many are Christians only in name. They called them Christians at Antioch first. Why? Because they were just like Jesus. They looked like Jesus, not in a natural appearance, but they looked like him. And all, ladies and gentlemen, listen, everyone has a throne. I want you to picture this. Imagine this, an imaginary throne with a nice little decorations up there, a king's throne. That chair represents the throne of the heart, and every one of us have a throne on our heart. Oh, every heart has a throne, and something controls that heart. Something in that heart worships something else. Something rules in this place of the throne of our heart. Let me ask you a question today. Who or what sits on the throne of your heart? Who or what sits on the throne of your heart? Because every heart has a throne. I'm preaching to you today on my church. We got too much control over our lives. I want to call the shots. Listen, there's a lot of control freaks in the house. Oh, and I'm one of those. I want to be the one that tells myself what to do. Listen, we need to be filled and possessed by the Holy Ghost and allow Him to lead us and direct us and guide us. I've made too many mistakes. I've gone the wrong way too many times. But listen, whenever I'm sensitive to the voice of God, whenever I listen to His still small voice, I get back to the Word, allow the Holy Ghost to bring all things to my remembrance, everything that Christ has said. I'm sensitive. I allow Him to lead. Listen, sometimes I want to speak. Sometimes I just want to go off on somebody. Come on, church. Oh, but the Holy Ghost says, not today, Matt Gregg. My lordship, you don't call the shots anymore. I do. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, God wants to sit on the throne of our hearts, and He wants to control us and call the shots. Do you want God to sit on the throne of your heart? Because every heart has a throne this morning. Listen, our soul doesn't want to give up the lordship. But I'm going to expose some modern day idols this morning. I can't expose them all, but I'm going to expose some of them. I'm going to expose some of these idols that have been controlling us. Some of these things that we've placed number one in our life. Remember, an idol isn't just a statue or an image of gold that we worship, that we fall down and pay homage to. But an idol is anything that we place before God, anything that we're consumed with, anything that we love more than God. We'll never confess it. Listen, we'll never confess it with our mouth, but I'm going to tell you how you'll know. Your actions confess what you're really in love with. The way you spend your money, the way you spend your time, the way you sit on the throne of your heart. I'm going to expose some of these idols. Number one, people can become idols in our life. Brother Matt, are you serious? No, you don't even have to worship them. Now, I will say, Brother B.H. Clendenin, he loved his grandbabies. Some of you understand. I have never had grandkids, but I'm old enough to be a grandpa, and I love babies. I mean, I'm going to be a wonderful grandpa. I'm going to love them babies. I'm going to spoil them. Then I'm going to send them home whenever that mom and dad come and pick them up. Brother Taylor used to say it like this. He used to say, man, when them little angels come, he said, man, I love it whenever I see the license plates on the front of that car. Then little angels come. He said, but I love it more when I see the taillights and little devils leave. Come on. Brother Clendenin said the closest thing to an idol in his life was grandchildren. Let me tell you something, ladies. Amen. To become number one before the Almighty God. Any time that you compromise to try to love them or to win them or to put them before God, you've just rendered yourself helpless to help them. No, no, no. He is to be number one. What we need to do, Grandma and Grandpa, or however you want to say, Mimi or Papa, I'm telling you, there's all kinds of new names for grandparents today. Well, whatever you want to say, what you need to do is you need to draw a line in the sand. You need to show them that you're going to put God first in everything that you do. Leave a legacy for your grandchildren and your children. Oh, listen, I know parents who put their children first. I mean to tell you, they think their children can do no wrong. I love my kids, but I'm going to tell you, my kids make a lot of mistakes just like I've never lied. That's a lie out of hell because everybody's lied sometime or another. Oh, listen, I've had people say, well, what do you have for my kids? I tell you what we have the Word of God. We'll preach it straight. We'll allow the Holy Ghost to move. And I can tell you something, whenever they're here at this church, we'll train them in the ways of God. No, we don't have the smoke or the lights, but what we have is J-E-S-U-S. And I can tell you, when you give them Jesus, that's all they need. Because Jesus will help them get through the problems of this life like nobody else can. Oh, I'm telling you, don't you put your children first. Don't allow ball games. I'll skip games on a Sunday to take preeminence over God, I'll tell you what you have just done, Mom and Dad. Well, listen, Brother Matt, this is family time. I only got this little window to be with them in T-ball or midget football. I don't know if they have midget football anymore or whatever it is. I just have this short little time, and I just want to spend so much time with them. These are the good years. They'll remember this all of their life. You better bet they'll remember this all their life. They'll remember you put the things of this world before the Almighty God. They'll remember that you made an idol out of sports that's going to end up damning their soul to hell. Let me tell you something. Sports, there's nothing wrong with it. I love sports. I don't love it like I used to because it used to be an idol to me. I love to see little kids play T-ball and basketball, but I can tell you this. I hate whenever somebody places it before the Almighty God. Oh, he must be first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. People can become an idol. Children can sit on the idol of your heart, and God's jealous. He's angry in this chair on the heart. Oh, we get consumed when we fall in love, or we think we're in love. Consumed. If they take preeminence over your Bible time, your consecration, you spend more time and you're so consumed, you just are so messed up, it's hard to get into prayer. It's possible that they have become an idol. Listen to me, it doesn't matter who it is. It can be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a husband or a wife. It can be anything. Whoever it is, if they keep you out of church, away from an altar, or cause you to slightly compromise your convictions, they may be sitting on the throne of your heart where Jesus is supposed to sit. Everybody has a throne. Who is on the throne of your heart today? You must take them off. It's a dangerous thing to allow people to be on the throne of your heart. Number two, social media. The new human Achilles heel, the subtle idol of self in its full modern glory, comes in the form of likes, shares, following how many we have following us and how many likes. This one has led, social media has led to lower self-esteem, depression, and even suicide. Rather than ditching the social networks, it's now more important to be noticed in a stream of posts that more than 80% of our followers will never even see. Listen to me, I'm not against Facebook. We have Facebook. But I'm going to tell you something. Many people can have Facebook, and it sits on the throne of their heart. Listen, I know this little phone doesn't look like it. Whenever you are so concerned of why somebody didn't like your page, but why somebody didn't like that picture you posted, and they don't like it, they must be against you. They must be out to get, listen, and then you look at everybody else, what's going on, and you start digging. I don't care if it's being so concerned with people liking and you're upset with it, or if you're just a busybody, and I'm going to tell you, Facebook is a busybody's friend. They love to go and search. It's worse than soap operas. They'll go and search for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Yeah. I didn't say there's anything wrong with Facebook. Don't you dare misquote me. But whenever we spend so much time on social media, we post a picture and see how many people have liked it and then get mad whenever we look at somebody else's. How could they? I'm telling you, hey, if that's the problem with you, Facebook is an idol. You might as well bow down and worship it. Start humming and pay homage to Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is out there. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it becomes an idol in our life. This little phone or a tablet, a laptop, a computer, it might as well be gold or a statue that you worship. We might as well sing, I live to worship you. I live to worship you. Facebook, Instagram. It sits on the throne of our heart. Brother Matt, come on. That's a little bit hard on Sunday morning. Save this for the Wednesday night crowd because they don't get as offended as quickly as a Sunday morning crowd. You know I preach the hardest messages on Sunday morning. You know that. If you spend 20 to 40 hours in your own Facebook or any of the other kind of stuff, it could be television or whatever, but you only spend 5 minutes in prayer, I'm telling you, it is an idol. It is a god. It is before the Almighty God, and He's jealous today. If social media sits on the throne of your heart, you may not confess it, but with your actions it shows. It is a modern day idol. Number three, your challenges. Brother Matt, you mean my challenges can become an idol? Absolutely. If there's one thing that can always take a person's eyes off God, that would be life's challenges. Sometimes the smaller the challenge, the easier the distraction. It's saddening how many people navigate their lives from one challenge to the next, never able to see anything else. It ultimately robs them of any real accomplishments that God would bring into their lives. Listen, it's the challenge. When the challenge that you're going after, whether it be a project, a job, some goal, whenever it becomes so consuming that you place it before God in your intimacy with God, that with it. It may even have good motives and good meaning. It becomes an idol when it's placed before God. Let me say it again. Anything that we place before God, anything we're consumed with. God wants us to be consumed with Him. He wants to be on the throne of our hearts today. How do we justify putting something before God? We say, God understands. He's the one that gave me this desire. He's the one that gave me these gifts. He's the one that gave me all of these things. He understands. So we justify putting things before God. It's idolatry. It's idolatry. Number four, sports. I said it a moment ago, but let me just talk about professional sports for a minute. I'm not going to ask how many Dallas Cowboy fans are in this house. Ain't none of my business. I like to watch them every once in a while. But there was a time that I was consumed with sports. Do you know that that is the idol of America today? Sports, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, NFL, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it may be whatever your favorite one is, golfing, whatever it is. Now I just hit a nerve when I said golfing. I know it. Anytime you'll skip church to watch the Dallas Cowboys, you need a pray through. Just in time for football season. Any time that you would rather be at home and you can say, well, you know, I'll come to church tonight or next week, but I'm going to watch the Cowboys play the Giants because the Cowboys are 3-0 as long as Jerry Jones is alive. Listen to me today. What we need to do is we need to stop placing other things above the Almighty God. Any time that we play sports, you might as well bow down and worship that sport, and God is angry. That sport sits on the throne of your heart today. And it's time to pull it down. What you need to do, if you're consumed with it, to stop watching it for a good year. It's not an idol to me, Brother Matt. I can quit anytime. Okay, do it today. I love sports, man. Whew. Not that much, but I enjoy. Let me just use the terminology, enjoy. I've been saved since 1996. And do you know, I have never skipped church for the Super Bowl. Y'all don't mind if I preach my own convictions this morning, do you? I ain't never skipped church for the Super Bowl, but what I do is I tape it. And I go home and I watch it. It's not even second place, Brother Steve. It's about fourth or fifth. But I sure enjoy it. But I'll never place it before the Almighty God. I'm going to show my children. I'm going to show my God. He is number one to me. Come on, church. I'm telling you, I will not allow that thing to get in my heart. I'm going to cast it down. I want Him to know I'm in love with Him. He died 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. He has my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has prepared a place for me to be in love with the things of this world. No, ma'am, no, sir. I want to put Him first and foremost in my life. Whenever we do this, we teach others in our testimony, our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our friends and family, that we have professed Christianity, but we say, put anything above him and it's all right. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I've been in the ministry in this church, it's 22 years in this church, since this church is built. And I'm going to tell you, I've watched them from little children grow all the way up. If you put other things before God, it will not serve you well with your children in the future. You go ahead and tell yourself all day long, well, it's a good thing because we're family and we're together and I'm just trying to put them, I want them to know how much I love them. You better place Christ first. I'm telling you, I have seen it throughout the those that have had parents that allowed other things to take preeminence. They went the way of the world. It's time to get a bulldog grip on the things of God. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you another modern day idol, hunting and shopping and family time. Even house chores can be a modern day idol. Oh, there's some women who want their house so clean and spotless. Well, I don't get to do it on the weekday because I'm working so much. Well, I can tell you something. You better not put it before God. You put him first and foremost. What about hunting? Listen, I've told people, I didn't say, I'm not going to damn anybody to hell for hunting during the season if they take a week out of the year. But if you go every day or you skip church for the hunt, I'm not against people going on vacation out of town. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's a first and foremost, who sits on that throne this morning? How many gods are in that? Listen, two gods can't be in the same house. God is not going to share your house, that temple, with another god. We better cast them down. We better get rid of them, or he's going to bring judgment upon us. I know I'm meddling, but that's what God calls preachers to do. We have any bass fishermen in this house? Don't raise your hand. I love bass fishing. Ain't nothing wrong with bass fishing, catfishing. Brother Taylor, my pastor, used to say when he got saved, he was an avid bass fisherman. He went every single morning. He would get up early in the morning before work, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He would go fishing. He knew all the hot spots in Lake Tyler, Lake Jacksonville, all these places. He said, when I got saved, I knew I had that bass boat, and bass fishing was an idol to me. I worshiped fishing. He said, what I did is I gave that bass boat away. He said, I don't even remember who got it. He said, I just gave it away. Why? Because he did not want that to take the place. It sit on the throne of his heart, and he knew it did. It wasn't a sin to go bass fishing. It's not a sin to go golfing. It's not a sin to go hunting and all these things. These are good things, but they have their place. And what we have done in the church world, we have put the family above God, and we've put entertainment above God. It's time to reorganize. It's time to reprioritize and say, God, I'm sorry. I've allowed other things to come before you, but you're going to become the number one. You're going to take the first place again in my life. Rights and freedoms are another modern day idol. Rights and freedoms. Now, Brother Matt, now, be careful. You hear me out? As an American, we enjoy rights and certain freedoms that a huge number of people in other parts of the world don't even consider possible. Sadly, the establishment of rights and freedoms have begun to erode around us into a constant, all-inclusive demand for everything under the sun, to fall into categories of rights and liberty. With freedom comes responsibility, and without responsibility, liberty becomes slavery. But when our demand, hear me, when our demand for freedom, our arrogant expectations of rights, keep our eyes from the freedom that only Christ can bring. Listen to me, I am a red-blooded American / Texan, amen? And I believe in gun rights, free speech. I believe in freedom of religion. I believe in everything. And I believe this is ordained of God. But I'm going to tell you, it is already foreordained. It's been written in the book that the things that are happening are going to happen. I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm going to do what I can to preserve and to fight against it. But what I'm going to do is say, I'm going to keep my eyes on Calvary. I am a Christian first and an American second. Come on, church. I'm not going to allow my American can take the place of my walk with God. I am called to seek and to save that which is lost first and foremost, to set the captive free, to set at liberty them that are in bonds, amen, in shackles, in sin. That is what we're called to do, first and foremost, to be a child of God, to love the hurting, the lost, and the dying around us. Don't allow your American freedom rights to become an idol. Where we're so I know people in the church world, preachers that are so consumed with politics. That's what they preach. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and politics. But it's usually politics first. It's become an idol. Listen to me. We got to get Christ first and foremost. Food can become an idol. Listen, you don't have to be overweight to be a glutton. Whenever all you think about is food in the morning, food in afternoon, and food at night. Listen, I used to be this kind of person. If you didn't, head off. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. Let me tell you how you deal with that flesh. You start fasting. You push away that plate. Listen, some people have food as an idol in their heart. I had a 500-pound man one day. He was eating in the back years ago, about 15, 16 years ago. And I mean, we had a buffet back there. I mean, I'm telling you, we ate and we ate and we ate. And he said, come over here and get some of this. I said, man, I am full. He said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Idolatry, modern day idolatry. Listen, even blessings can become idols. Listen, blessings can become idols, absolutely, positively. Often idols are simply everyday things of life that God has blessed us with. Now listen, if you allow your covetousness heart more than the blesser, God will do to you and me what he did to the priest in Malachi 2:1. Listen to what it says. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to your heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. He will curse you with blessings, give you everything. He'll give you everything. And once you have everything, you won't need him. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Being in a place of abundance and prosperity, there is this false sense of security that if we're being blessed, then we are in divine favor with God. Don't you ever believe that? I said it a couple weeks ago, the richest, wealthiest people in the world are the most wicked people in the world. So don't equate your blessings for the blessings, giving glory for the material things, your health, the finances. But just because you are blessed monetarily doesn't mean you're right with God no more than it is Mr. Gates is right. I can tell you, he ain't right with God. He's a billionaire today. Let to curse my blessings because someone come to the piano. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Listen to what Paul says. The church is referred to as a she. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Listen to what Paul's doing here. Paul is comparing the relationship of Christ and the church as a man and his wife. That's just the simple principle here. The church takes the role of the wife or the bride in the portion of Scripture. He reinforces this in verse 32. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now let me ask you the question. I want you to think about this for a minute. Imagine a woman promising a man she is engaged to, honey, I'll be a great wife if you marry me. Anybody ever told their husband that? Boy, then you're trying to really work him over if he's not wanting to get married. I'll be a great wife to you. I'll cook for you. I'll wash your clothes. I will rub your feet. Can I get a witness in this house? I'll be faithful to you, she says, 364 days of the year. Just give me one day of the year that I can commit adultery with my old boyfriends. Would you agree to that? no way, no how. What if she just said, what about 4 hours a year? Not one day, just 4 hours. Would you agree to that? Well, some of your blood pressure is getting rising right now because I'm even mentioning it. What if she says, I'll be faithful to you 364 days of the year. I'll love you. I'll care for you. Just give me 10 minutes with my old boyfriends. You'd look at her and say, listen, we're going too fast. We need to think about this. And then you call your parents and say, she is nuts. Most of us would not agree to any of these propositions. Who would marry a person like that, though she has offered to be a great mom and cook? She has not given her whole heart. She still has other lovers, even though she commits adultery only once a year or 4 hours or 10 minutes. She's still an adulterer. Can you imagine just for a minute Jesus coming back for a bride with the same attitude? It's not going to happen. Now we understand why Paul cries out in our text. He says, therefore, my beloved, in verse 14, flee from idols. As I was preparing this message, the Holy Ghost put his finger on some things in my life that I had allowed to take preeminence. I had to cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. There are things that had consumed me right here on the throne of my heart. It could have been just a couple of weeks, but it consumed me. And he has to take second place. He's second all the time to so many people. Second. We don't want to think of God as being a hard God. Listen, God is a God of love, but he is a God of justice. One great writer in times past said, on judgment day, when the condemned stand before God and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, even the condemned will marvel at the justice of God. He's just. He's awesome. He is a God of love. But listen, his overwhelming attribute is not love. John 3:16, we love to quote it. I love to quote it. I thank God that he loved me. If it wasn't for his love, I'd be doomed and damned for a devil's hell. But here's his overwhelming attribute. It is what the angels cry out every moment, every day in the heavens. They cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is consumed with his glory. Holy, holy. The angels, the seraphims have to cover their eyes. They can't look upon the holiness of God. I'm telling you today, listen, according to modern religion, you just add Jesus to whatever you are. No, no, no. Whatever you are has to die. You cannot sanctify the old man. The old man must get on the cross. There is nothing good in me but Christ. I must die so that he can live. I must trade my life for his. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we stand? As I'm preaching the word of God this morning, I believe the Spirit of the Lord spoke to you. Maybe I didn't even cover that little God and grandchildren. Ooh, boy, I love them. Man, I can't wait to have grandbabies. My wife said, I wish our kids were little again. I said, I don't. I don't. I'm glad I like them how they are. I want to love on them, the babies, and leave them. Leave them with mom and dad. Think about it today. Think about it. I may not have covered what is sitting on the throne of your heart today. But I can tell you this, it will answer the questions, a lot of the questions that you've had in your life about your personal walk with God. Some of the things that you're going through today, the constant failures, the constant going back, being bound by besetting sins, being miserable in your walk with God, constantly having turmoil in your spirit. Not all trouble is because of this, because we are born in trouble as the sparks fly upward, as Job says. But it could answer the questions of many people's lives. I remember when the church used to be like this. The reason why the church isn't the way it used to be is because people aren't as consecrated as they used to be. God hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. Somebody came to Brother Taylor that years ago. It was a lady who was once a firebrand in his church. She got out of step with God and left the church for years. She came back and she said, "Wow, church isn't what it used to be. What happened?" He pointed his finger at her and he said, "People just like you. You sold out to the world and you left the church. And you were consumed with the things of this world. You allowed idols to get in that heart. And now you want to complain and blame everybody else. What we need to do is we need to do an inward search. Allow the Spirit of God to search me out. What have I placed before God? What consumes my mind? What consumes my finances? What consumes my time? Oh God, help us today to pull down the idols. Eradicate, evict that old false God that's on the throne of your heart." I'm going to tell you what will happen. God will move by His Spirit in such a powerful way. You're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles in your life again. But He has to be first and foremost. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I preach what You gave me to preach today. I ask You to forgive me as I have allowed things to come into my heart many, many times in my walk with You. Just like the children of Israel, you would deliver them from the oppressive hand of their enemies. Then, as a pattern, Lord, You know, they would allow idols into their life. Their heart would be drawn away by idolatry. And what would You do, oh God? Again, You would allow the hand of their enemies to afflict them to get their attention. Lord, whatever You have to do to us to get us right and ready for the rapture of the church, our death by the way of the grave, we're asking You to do it today. We don't want to miss heaven, Lord. I'm asking You to search every heart in this place today. Search us. Lord, every modern day idol, we want to pull it down. Lord, we want to be delivered this morning. I'm asking You to do the work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody in this house that you say, "I'm a backslider, I'm away from God"? I'm going to pray with you today. You're away from God. I want to see Your hand. God will save you by His Spirit. God sees this hand. Anyone else in this house? Another hand. Anyone else? You're away from God. Praise the Lord. The rest of us in this house, we are the people of God. Just like Israel, we are prone to let our mind wander from God. We are prone to allow things to enter in. Let's make it right this morning at this old-fashioned altar. Can we come find a place to kneel and pray, stand up against the walls? There's a lot of folks here today. We have pews right here in the front you can kneel in. Let's find a place. Let's talk to the Master today and pull the King off that throne in our heart.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love Him, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all, He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all, He wants it all. And He says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. So give it all of you, more of you. He wants it all today.